You know, Vinny and I started off the conversation talking about the nature of busyness and how hustle porn seems to be eating up how many of us do work. There's a type of work that enriches and energizes you, and there's a type that just drains you of energy. I think we both figured out what the right kind of work is and how to do the most of that so we can hit the sack and get a good night's sleep. But with the rest of the conversation, we got deep into the nature of building a business, how to get out of your own way, correcting self-talk, and how going through struggles really gives you an awesome mindset to tackle all kinds of challenges. This is a fast-paced, high-energy conversation that you'll learn a lot from. Vinny's also got a free book offer over at fullyaccountable.com/hotmic, and there's a link in the show notes. Learn from that and from this episode. Let's get going.
Yeah, it's good. I'm a little busy today. I think that, you know, the beautiful part of being a busy leader guy is that, like, I've embraced that part of it. I actually love it. That's far better to have my days evaporate with time than to stare at my hours wondering what I'm going to do. So I've kind of come to be thankful for that. I used to have a really awful relationship to busyness, but
yeah.
I appreciate it from a standpoint of, like, there could be way worse things to have.
You know, nothing could be more true, seriously, because, like you, I've been on both sides of it where, you know, busy, busy, busy. And then you look and you're like, well, shoot, I didn't get anything done of note, you know, and it sucks. It's just, it's soul sucking. It seriously is. And I find, I don't know, I get the best night's sleep when I know I have spent the day grinding on things that freaking matter. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Head hits a pillow and it's like, boom, we're done.
But it's funny. I totally agree with you, Michael. I actually had to get right with a couple things though, along the way. Like, you know, early on in my career, I'd be so caught up with, like, the grind is its own thing.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of the grind being just some things you have to do sometimes to accomplish the thing. And right. So when I stopped being excited about grind as a thing and just knew there were times where I had to grind, it gave me a better perspective to the idea of work, toil, labor, doing the hard stuff. So then those nights of sleep you refer to are more restful because I just did the stuff I had to do that day, as opposed to, like, somehow making my religion grind.
Yeah. Yeah, you're talking about hustle porn, aren't you? Oh my goodness, I hate hustle porn. I mean, there are a lot of content creators out there that I love reading, but man, if you apply 100% of what they talk about, it's like that could be taken to an extreme and it just causes problems. I'm like, you know what? I'm not gonna worry about it. It's like, focus just on the things that matter and make it happen. You know,
I didn't know that I served hustle porn as a god until I was exposed in my life at one point in my career where I built one of our businesses and I built it in a way that I wasn't a primary cog in the wheel.
Right.
And all of a sudden I was actually bored. And so because I had served this god of hustle porn, I found myself breaking parts of the business so that I could work in it again.
Yeah. Yeah. And it, oh man, it's taken straight out of the book, The E-Myth Revisited, right? It's like, it's so easy to fall back into the whole, like, I know my way around, I can do this. And then it's like, you're making the business less scalable. You're bottlenecking it and it sucks. Well, shoot, man, like I said, it's really good to get to know you, get to meet you. And
yeah.
I like to play a game. I like to look in people's offices, not in a creepy way. I mean, your camera's on. And I like to try to figure out what somebody's company is all about by looking at the decor on the walls, right? So are you from Ohio when you're in the music industry?
So I'm from Ohio. I'm
okay.
OHIO, you're supposed to say, but I am a Brownie and a Buckeye. I'm all those things. And the little records, they speak to validating me feeling good about myself mostly, but those are awards in digital marketing for creating digital marketing flow that creates revenue in our company. And the company that awarded those is a company called ClickFunnels. And so I would have gotten 7-figure awards for driving revenue through the funnels that built in their system.
Oh, nice. I love it. So I was half right. I was like, do I see an Ohio on the wall? I think so. I'm just going to ask, you know,
and then the age other where I'm like, ask would be the last 2 years of our Inc. 5000 award of fastest growing company. And actually today, forgetting what the date is, we just also heard that we are for 2021 received an award that they aren't going to announce for a few weeks, but fastest growing in the Midwest.
Oh man. Well, spot on, dude. Congrats. Okay.
Thanks,
you come a long way. So what does your company do? Since I was like hideously wrong, half of it anyway, what's your company do?
You know, at its core, we make money on the production of accountancy and finance, right? We provide outsourced full service operation of accounting and finance for e-commerce and digital companies. Think fractional CFO and controller with all the toys and tools to run the back office of those companies.
Okay. Awesome. Awesome.
You know, I've do that work.
Oh, that's cool. You know, that's something that I have not gotten as familiar with. Like I'm aware of what a CFO is. But what would somebody in that role do? Like why, like somebody's going to come to you, I need your help. Okay. So yep. Like what kinds of problems would those kind of people solve? I'm just curious.
Yeah, there's two pieces to that, right? In an accounting and finance department. So the first piece is for companies to be compliant. Things have to match. You got to know if your money's getting deposited. You want to make sure it's put in the right category to maximize your tax and pay necessarily what you have to, and make sure you're profiting and not paying too much for one thing or another. Very compliance. Then there's a piece above that that would look more executive in finance. And so a CFO lives more in finance, executive function of a company, guessing forward. How much should you staff? What are the things to do? Do we need a line of credit? How do we do our inventory? It's above compliance. And a controller is very much making sure that nickels are nickels and dollars are dollars, and the company is not, its leaky bucket is identified and being addressed. And so we do both parts of that.
Okay. Awesome. Well, how'd you decide to start this up? I mean, of all the bajillion things that a high energy guy like you could do, and you went this direction, like what was it that made you say, that's what I want to be when I grow up?
Yeah, I'm a problem solution marketer, Michael. It was birthed out of necessity. I needed to solve a problem in my own businesses. As a leader, I'm a marketer. I love copy. I love people. So I'm typically tied, including this company, to the offer that we make. And so because of that, I'm like an affiliate guy. I love revenue. And so I would always be focused on gross revenue. As a matter of fact, it's the first report I still read every moment I read a report is, are we up in revenue? The problem was I never cared about the bottom line. I only cared about revenue. And so what would happen is I'd make a bunch and I'd give a bunch back. And inside our large health supplement company, it was a basic moment in my life that was a big deal. Like one day I woke up, I'm like, wait a minute, it's not the top line. It's what I keep in our pocket. And at that moment, I saw that we were doing 8% in revenue in our company. And I found out that I should have been doing like 22, 24%. Well, that 14% became a big deal to me. And it changed my thinking in our business. And I gained just enough awareness of that to realize that I lacked some financial fluency. And I needed to go fix that and no longer just blame the world for my lack of issue. So I didn't set out to be a CFO. I set out to realize, in the language of business, that's a big deal. And I have to be an evangelist for that bottom line. And that just changed our course. And so we started doing that. We did that in that health company. And next thing you know, here we are with this burden on our lap. And friends of ours in this space were like, hey, Vinny, that's kind of cool. Can you do that for us? Well, next thing you know, end of 14, start of 15, here we are with a business. And here, 6 years later, we look like an overnight success.
Oh man, no! It you're not gonna fool me. I know it's not an overnight success, man, because I've been there, right?
Yep.
But it's just kind of cool how businesses come about. Like some people just jump out there and they're like, "I'm gonna start this thing," and other times it's just, well, like seven people just came and asked us about if we can do blah blah, and you just start a business. It just sort of happens. So you fell into entrepreneurship. Sounds like
I had to go back to my board at the health company and say, guys, I have an idea. I want to run this. Oh, by the way, some of you are not going to be involved as partners, but I still want you to agree that I'm going to go grow this, and I'm going to use our company as a way to grow it. And I looked at my primary partner and said, you're in. Some of you others, I'm going to build it around him, and I'm going for it. Are we, do we all agree? And some of the guys were like, but I'm not involved. Like, what? And so I'm building a business while I'm selling the one that we're doing. And you know what? It started out as fixing a problem and then it turned into a burden. Like, I knew we could help people. I knew we were changing something. So the early days, man, were hard, right? Getting and trying to change like language and technology hadn't caught up and all this stuff. I looking back now, I was 3, 4, 5 years ahead of behavior of where I thought people were going to be. And yeah, I never thought I'd own an accounting firm. Like, I am a marketer, copywriter, I'm a lawyer. And like that guy, nobody who knows my life as a longtime runner, digital marketer thought to themselves, yeah, that guy is an accounting guy. So much so that I had negative relationship to that title for so long. I didn't want to be known as like the accounting guy or the tax guy or the finance guy, because I'm actually not that guy. I'm so thankful that we have so many of those men and women on our team, but I'm thankful also to be the ambassador of that and see hundreds of companies' lives that we're changing. And so that's why I get on shows, Michael, is to evangelize. This is such an important element for a 7-figure business to actually be mature, that process and people matter more than the offer at some point.
They do. They do. And that's, oh, that's a lesson that a lot of people need to learn. I think a lot fewer businesses would fail if they applied that early on.
Yeah.
Because they focus on, we got to get the thing, we got to do the thing. And it's like, no, you got to focus on process and people first, not product. So.
And it would depend on the cadence of that, right? Because I would say, in fairness, in my own career and watching other men and women who are growing things, early on, it's all about the offer. Because if you don't have people buying your thing, then there's an indictment that maybe you don't have a value proposition. Like, you're not really solving a problem that applies to more people. But at some point, I think by evidence of math, only 7% of companies do $1 million of annualized revenue a year. So of those 7% companies, to get to that point, your offer is working. Now the habit of me as a leader has to change and adding structure to the company. And that's what you're talking about. And so I'd say when you start getting into or at one of those places where you've got an offer that's working, then you got to work on the business. And maybe early on, you got to work on the offer. And it's so hard to switch that habit. And gosh, I broke a few things along the way and wrote some books, by the way, that I would love our audience to have. And we want to give those away. And so we can give a link in the show notes, but we want to give those away to people. So, and all they have to do is sign up to get them in the show notes and so on.
Well, nice. Definitely. If you have a link to it, I'm happy to put it in there. I'm always, people are giving out free things all the time. Seriously.
Yeah. So we have it as fully accountable/Michael, but we can change it to the show name and we can talk about it. What would you like it to be?
Well, let's put /Hot Mic. How about that?
Yeah, that's what we thought we were going to do. And we just laced that.
There we go.
So it's just fullyaccountable.com/Hot Mic. You'll get there. My 2 best-selling books, which talk about this whole journey of your business. You're also going to get every resource you need to do to run and equip the process of your back office of your business. Our mission is to get 10,000 businesses focusing on doubling their profit margin. And some of them will want to speed up the process or work with experts and they'll raise their hand and work with us. And the others, hey, take every resource. And if you can do it yourself, good for you.
Nice, man. I love it. Well, I appreciate that. So what have been some of the major challenges that you've overcome as you build this out? Cause you seem like you're just going to run through walls and just boom. But like, what are some big things that you're like, holy moly, this is going to be the end of me, but you made it. You got any stories?
The question is, which story do we want to talk about?
Pick the top 13. Pick the top 13. Ready, set, go. I'm kidding.
If I'm going to be real, I think as you grow up something and mature something, it correctly gets real lonely because the inordinate amount of risk associated with the understanding of that risk is usually not recognized by anybody else, including my spouse and others. So it can get real lonely up there. So on bad days, they can get real bad. So I've learned a couple emotions along the way. Anxiety and boredom, they both exist for the leader. It's how I react to them. So I remember that, you know, we had an offer get completely shut off and our merchant accounts get closed because there was a dispute filed with Google. Now, that dispute turned out to not be right, but what it did in the short term was choked our cash, so much so that we were like hours away from closing, because we just got choked on cash. And if you think of any business that it has a problem with cash, it just overruns you so fast, your obligations, if you don't have the inflow coming. Well, in the darkest of hours, I sat there like, am I a loser? Is this thing done? Holy cow, what am I gonna do? And so I sat there, and I'm literally on a trip with my wife. We're like in Alaska when I get the phone call from a business partner that this happened. And I'm like, holy cow, what are we going to do with this situation? Are we just going to call it quits? Or is my job here to, and that's where this motto above my head, it says, you know, without leadership, people will perish. Absent leadership, people are going to follow anything. And so in that moment, my job was to like recognize the sobriety and seriousness of what we have, but also know that we're going to prevail if we do the right things. And gosh darn it, you know, it was razor thin close. We never had to stiff anybody, but we were able to get those dollars back from Google, some of them. We were able to have a fair workout, at least the bank would have considered it fair. Debbie, if you ask my wife, she would not consider it fair, as we worked out our relationship with the bank, and we were able to continue. We took a bunch of dents in there, and we didn't have to close because I didn't overreact to the anxiety of the moment.
Very, very cool. You know, there's a lot of mental toughness that you develop as a business owner where you find you don't have to react to things, and you can just, you know, you're being mindful. Like it sounds like you're talking about, you developed a lot of mindfulness and you're taking in the emotions and, okay, this does not define me. This doesn't mean I suck. This doesn't mean I'm a loser, but this is an event. It's a failure, but it doesn't mean I failed. I'm not a failure. Now what can we do about this? And that is valuable. That's a lesson I've had to learn myself too. So I guess I'm glad we both learned it, you know, because, oh my goodness. It's funny, Michael,
you'll hear people say like, you can't be a successful entrepreneur unless you take some of these hits.
Right.
You know, I don't know. I mean, I think there are probably successful entrepreneurs who haven't taken the hit. The reality is PhDs are expensive, and you get a lot of them along the way as a leader of something. But I don't know that you have to experience them. I do know that the people who do tend to find endurance, steadfastness, and perseverance. But one of the things that I discovered along the way was my identity was placed in my success.
There it is. Yeah.
That to me was a really valuable lesson when I took the hit. Mm-hmm. That like the shame, the loserness, the language I used about myself, how offensive and broke of it was, because we broke something, I saw myself as a loser because I pegged my identity to the success. That was a valuable PhD that I cherish to this day, that my identity shouldn't be pegged to the lack of or success of something that's growing in our ecosystem.
Oh my goodness. That like 10 points for Gryffindor, seriously, because like I had to learn that the hard way over the years. It's like, okay, I am not my business. The business is an abstract thing. It's an idea, but I'm in it, but I have to, you know, take a step back and say, all right, if something happens to the business, it doesn't affect me. It doesn't mean I just wink out of existence, right? That's a hard lesson to learn, though. But I'm glad that you learned that, man. I learn it every day, right?
Yeah. There's a song I sing in my head now. I'm a little old school, 38 special. Hold on loosely, but don't let go, right?
There you go.
The tighter we squeeze something, that fear of loss becomes a very dangerous enemy. And identity in success has so many attributes of the fear of loss attached to it. And so I learn that every day, Michael. Like, I don't want to go backwards. Who does? It sounds like rejection. But I learned to pay attention to my mouth and how I talk about myself, because those strongholds, that destructive language actually then permeates into our organization. And so I'm thankful to see that and to battle it when it comes up, not if it comes up.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, what do you wish you had been told about entrepreneurship 5 years ago? If somebody could give you a piece of advice and be like, ah, wish I'd known that, what would that be?
You know, it's a lesson I every day have to remind myself. I would have loved the world gives us such an immediate response to things, and we've been trained that we can have something immediately. And as leaders, because we've been trained to get immediate access to things, we think we get immediate access to the success of something. I wish I would have known earlier in my career that everything takes about twice as long as it actually takes.
Yeah.
Because I think I would have had a better perspective to frustration when things take longer than I would hope they would have taken. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that instant gratification that we've sort of hardwired our brains to expect doesn't really help things. There's a lot of slow growth when it comes to
building a
company.
Yeah, and I would be mad at everybody. I'll put downward pressure on myself, the system, external vendors, because I would be annoyed that speed moves at the pace that speed is moving. And time is what is doing, not what I want it to do. Good night, man. I'd like to have known that sooner, that I actually don't control the clock as much as I think I do.
But you learned it now. And I mean, that's something that you can pass on to future generations when you're talking with people that are maybe starting out on the journey, or they're further down the pipe, you know, they need some wisdom.
And I think the other thing that's even probably more important, Michael, is pay attention to the language you use about yourself.
Yeah.
Your heart, it tells on itself because it pours out of your mouth. So listen to the words. I would say more leaders, more entrepreneurs, more owners need to pay attention to that, because the language we use about ourselves tells on what's going on. It needs to be addressed. And so, you know, I not only do I practice something with other people, only use beneficial, encouraging words that are uplifting according to their needs. Mm-hmm. That also has to be practiced with me.
Right. Yes. You know, that almost sounds, partly it almost sounds a little bit biblical. I think there's scripture references where, you know, whatever's in your heart's going to come out of your mouth. And I think sometimes we say, well, we got to talk to ourselves and change our mind. And it's like, no, actually, that's a symptom of what we're thinking about ourselves already. So why did we think that way about ourselves? Right. It's sort of a flip thing.
Right.
And man, I'm floored, because you and I seem to have a lot in common when it comes to how we go about business, what we've learned about ourselves. I mean, the kind of lessons you've learned, I'm like, holy gee whiz, that's me. You know, I've had to go through some hard stuff this past year, and coming out the other side, it's like, I've learned that stuff. So I guess we're both on the right track, I suppose.
A track, right?
we're on a track. We're on our part of the journey.
Yeah, well, a lot of desires stored up my heart, right? And so paths are made straight. It's whether or not it's a path I want to be on is different than the path I'm actually on. And those are the things that, like, I'll tell you, leadership, the things that go along with building something, it's exciting. It's nervous. It's filled with all the anxiety. You know, I'm thankful to have all that, and I wouldn't want to do it any other way. And I also think a lot of people do not sign up for the function that goes along with creating something bigger than themselves.
Right. They sometimes don't. They kind of have a limited view of, hey, it's just me. I'm doing my thing. I'm out here, but I'm not really concerned about building something bigger than myself. I'm not trying to make it scalable. I'm just trying to pay the bills, man. But eventually you get to the point where you have to scale.
I had over 200 people in one of our companies.
Oh, yeah.
This great company. And I learned that it was all about me in that business. Now, my arrogance broke that company. But I learned something about my language. I was always about I and me, mm-hmm. not us and we. And I realized I was building it to make money for myself, not to solve a problem for others. Well, I'm so thankful to have realized that is part of this destructive pattern of building. It doesn't have to be just a solopreneur. You could have hundreds of people on your team, and you have an I and me model, not an us and we model.
Yeah. It's just a bunch of everybody working individually, which, you know, from the top down, if the leadership is acting like this I and me model, then everybody else is going to be like that too. And I've worked at companies like that where people are just, I got to look out for my own best interests. I'm going to get got. And it's like, that is not, we call that toxic, boys and girls. And that's a very difficult place to work. So, man, it's amazing. See, I keep having guests on that I'm like, I really should make these like 45 minutes or an hour, because we get going and we get good and spun up, and whoop, time to go. And it's like, oh man. So, you know, it's probably lunchtime for you anyway, because you're
Yeah, hey, I'll tell you, if people want more, and this is all free, go to fullyaccountable.com/hotmic and you can get those resources. We want you to have them. I double dog dare you to take advantage of our free gift to you, because I want you to win at this next stage of your season of journey in business. So it's hard. It's a combat sport, and we have to admit we make it up as we go. Like, those are real things that happen. And so if you can gain from some of the wisdom we have, we want you to have that.
Well, I really appreciate that. And this is something that it sounds like, you know, your energy and your experience and all this is being put into this book, and it's a free book. And I'm probably going to get a copy of it myself. You did just double dog dare me. Like, what kind of host would I be if I didn't do it? But this is something that I think would really help move the needle. And I think you believe that too, because otherwise you wouldn't offer it, you know, something that can help a lot of people. So yeah. I really appreciate that, man. So you got the website, Fully Accountable. Is it all one word? Is there a dash in there anywhere? Nope. Did you leave off a vowel?
Fullyaccountable.com, yep.
All right, cool. And then /hotmic, all one word, just HOTMIC?
Correct.
All right, awesome. I'm making sure, because if I put a dash in there and then people are like, hey, get the book, then I'm going to look like a dingus. So I'm just making sure, you know.
Don't worry, I can look like a dingus way more than you can. So we'll be good together.
Yeah. Challenge accepted. Awesome, man. Well, I really appreciate your time today. And I'm really looking forward to getting this pushed up and sharing this with the world. All right. So
hey, bud, thanks. I love that you're doing this, like getting a message out of hope and help. And I love it. And so anything we can do to support that, we're going to keep doing that.
Awesome, man. Well, glad to have you in my network. I'll let you drop off and we will catch you on the flip side of the mic. All right.
Everybody, see ya.
Take care. Bye-bye. Did you hear this episode and go, wow, I'm a founder and all my friends keep telling me I should get on a podcast? Would I be a fit? Yes. Yes, you would. Every single person who steps out of their comfort zone to build their dream has an amazing story to share. And this is the platform for you to do that. If you want to talk about your dream, what led you to start your endeavor, what successes you've had or challenges you've been pitted against, this is the podcast for you. So head on over to archdevops.com/podcast to find out how to get on, and also check out our free tip sheets on guesting or even hosting your own podcast. This is Fritz, your host, hoping to meet you on the other side of the hot mic at Arch DevOps.